Arch, we'll say good morning. We have a beautiful, beautiful daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Nun Tes 59. We are picking up today from Nun Ches Amud Beis 58b, and are picking up from Va'amar Rebbe Lazar. It's 2, 4, 6 lines up from the bottom, middle of the line. We're speaking about yesterday again, the negativity associated with someone who not only hits a fellow Jew, but raises his hand against a fellow Jew. And we're continuing with another few agadic statements of Rebbe Lazar. So we'll say our shir. The truth is the daf for this entire month is sponsored by Said and Sima Haken in honor of the month of Elul, Yamim Noraim, and Aliyah for the neshama of Said's father. We also dedicate our learning Le'iloi Nishmas Esther Bas Harav Yechiel Meir HaKoin, Refuah Shleima for Tinok Ben Avital, all the neshamas that need an aliyah, shem aliyah, all the cholim who need a refuah, miyartz Hashem should be granted one as well. So let's begin. V'amar Rebbe Lazar, this is a very moving, very meaningful and impactful gemara. Amar Rebbe Lazar, lo nitne karka ella baliz ros. Real estate, land, was only given to strong people. Shene emar, v'ish zeroa lo ha'aretz. Literally, again, it's a little bit of a play on words. Ish Zeroa, literally a man of strong arms. Lo Ha'aretz, he is given the earth. V'amrei Shlakish, so we'll say what this means over here, the thing we're going to see what the Gemara is driving at, is that Lamais, in order to recognize Hatzlacha from your land, right, in order to recognize Hatzlacha from your real estate, you have to be a hard worker. So therefore, again, so Karka was only given ultimately again to Baali's role. V'amrei Shlakish, my Dichsiv is actually very profound. Oved Admaso. Yisbalachem. Well, so listen to this. What does it mean when the pasuk says in Mishlei, "He who works his ground, he who works his earth, his karka, yisbalachem, will be sated with his bread." Im osa adam atzmo ke'eved la'adama yisbalachem. If a person makes himself like an eved, like a slave to his ground, to his earth, yisbalachem, he will be sated with bread. Ve'im lav lo yisbalachem. But if he doesn't make himself like an eved to the earth, then what? He will not be sated with bread. So we'll say it's an incredible yisod. So what is Reish Lakish trying to say? Reish Lakish is saying, literally, if you want to see hatzlacha from your karka, then what? Right? Work hard. Work hard. We have to be, and by the way, not only work hard, you mamash have to be a slave to it. So we'll say, so it's amazing. So the Ben Yoyada says, you know, that this is not just the din in like real estate. It's not just the din in karka. What Reish Lakish is talking about is a din in life. If you want to be successful in something, you are going to have to work like an eved. If your intention is just to dabble, if your intention is just to, you know, put in a little bit of effort, what you need, where on a basic level, but then you're going to punch in, you're going to punch out, then Lamaisa says, Reish Lakish, you're not going to be successful in life. Whatever you want to be successful in, you mamush have to become an eved to it. And I will say, not only that, but the Ben Yehuda says, this is not just the din in Parnassa, this is a din in life. You want to be successful in your marriage, you have to be an eved to the marriage. That's not a marriage joke. I mean, it's meaning, like, you have to be meshubad. You mamish have to go ahead and make yourself a slave to the relationship, that I will do anything and everything to make this successful. You want to raise proper children, you have to become an eved to raising children. You want to be successful in your parnasa, with moderation, a person has to become an eved to their parnasa. Whatever you want to become matzliach in life, if you're just going to dabble in it, if you're just going to punch a clock in it, you're not going to be successful. You have to be an eved to whatever the endeavor is. So the Gemara goes weiter. V'amar Reish Lakish, Oved Kochavim Sheshavas Chayev Misa. Another incredible Gemara. And Oved Kochavim, they're both saying, Sheshavas over here, Rashi says over here, Oved Kochavim Sheshavas Mimalachto Yom Shalim. If a Gentile stopped working for an entire day, he's Chayev Misa. Now what we're going to see over here, well, look at Rashi. So Ovichom Sheshavas, Mimolachti Yom Shalim Chayim Misa, Shene Emar Yom Valayla Lo Yishbosu. Because the Pasuk says, the way the Gemara is dashing it over here, for a day and a night they shall not stop. Now, we're both saying, the idea of cessation of work for a day is an idea by Jews. Only Jews have the license for a license for Shabbos. The rest of humanity has an obligation to go ahead and never cease from working an entire day. Right? There's no Shabbos by Oved Kochavim. Therefore, again, the Amar Mar, Ashar Shalahen, Zoi Misasan, and furthermore, again, the basic warning against them, that in and of itself results in their Misa. Ravina Filu Sheni B'Shabbos. Ravina said, by the way, this is not just the din in Shabbos. This is a din even on Monday, meaning that a Ovid Kochavim is not permitted to say, I am hereby designating this day as a day of rest. Ovid Kochavim is not permitted. The concept of a day of rest, of Shabbos, is reserved for Klal Yisrael. Ovid Kochavim is not permitted to add that on to his spiritual repertoire, and if he goes ahead and he does that, he's Chayiv Misa. So the Gemara says, V'lach Shevei. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Amar Avina Filu Sheni B'Shabbos. Lo Tema Shevisa Deka Amar Eish Lakish L'Shem Chova Kamar Delo Lechavein L'Shbos Kigon B'Shabbos Shiyum Shevisa L'Yisfalo Echa B'Shab Sheshov Sinbo Ela Menucha Ba'ama Kasaluhu Shol Yibatlu Mimalocha. Rabbi says, it's an incredible Yisod. What does it mean? Why can't an Oved Kochavim go ahead and set aside a day of rest? Because Rabbi was saying, there is no rest in this world. Adam La'amal Yulad. Man was created to work. The only reason we have a day of rest, Klali, so is because Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to have a day of rest. The rest of humanity is bound by the concept of Yom Valayla Lo Yishbosu, that you can never stop for an entire day and night from work. An incredible yisod. Humanity has to be productive. Incredible, incredible, incredible idea. So the Gemara says, so why isn't this included by the Shemitzes B'nei Noach? In other words, why don't you include that one of the Shemitzes B'nei Noach is that an Akum, right? Gentiles cannot, or B'nei Noach cannot go ahead and designate a day as a day of rest. To which the Gemara says, Kika Choshev Shevi Al Tasa, Kuma Se Lo Choshev. Because Shemitzes B'nei Noach are things ultimately, again, Shevi Al Tasa, things you are not permitted to do. Kuma Se Lo Choshev. So we'll say the idea over here is that an Ovid Kochavim, or I should say Ovid Kochavim, a Ben Noach is obligated to work 7 days a week. Okay, there are 7 days a week. So that's a kumase. That is an active obligation. Shemitzos Noach ultimately, again, are prohibitions. That's why this is not included. I tap of nuntes, v'ha dinin kumaseu. But 1 second, one of the seven Noahide commandments ultimately, again, is to establish a court system. And yet, again, that's a kumase. That's an active obligation. V'kachoshev kumase. Well, see, just by the way, I think if maybe we had more coffee, you would be falling off your seats about this whole thing. Because you understand what the Gemara just taught us. What the Gemara just taught us is, there's no such thing as inactivity in a human being's life. The Ribono Shel Olam did not create us to be inactive. The notion of, you know, long weekends, the notion of, it's good to relax, but a person even has to make sure that on their Sundays or on their legal holidays or on their summer vacations, that a person is always engaging in dynamic growth activity. There is no such thing as a day off of life. You can have a day off of work, you can have a day out of your office, but there's no such thing as a day off from dynamic life activity. That's the Gemara's telling over here. So a Jew has a mandated day of rest, which is Shabbos, but even that day is not a day off from dynamic life activity. Yom v'alayla lo yishbosu means life has to be a consistent and constant cycle of growth. Incredible idea. Anyway, the Gemara says the following. So what about establishing a court system? That's a kumase, v'kachashiv, and yet again, it is counted as one of the Shemitzos B'nei Noach. Kumase v'shevi altasa ninu. The truth is, again, establishing a court system has both a kumase, a positive part, which is establish a court system, and a shevi altasa means not to commit injustices. So because it has the shevi altasa part as well, therefore it's included in Shemitzos B'nei Noach. Okay, v'am Rabbi Yochanan. Ovi kochavim she'osek b'torah chayiv misa. That's another incredible Gemara. An ovi kochavim, a Gentile who learns Torah, is chayiv misa. Chayiv misa, where do we get that from? Shene'emar Torah tziva lanu Moshe, morasha. So because the Torah says, Moshe Rabbeinu commanded us the Torah, morasha. It is an inheritance for us. Morasha lanu, lanu morasha, v'lo lahem. It is an inheritance for us, and not for the Gentile. Therefore, again, if the Gentile learns Torah, effectively what he's doing is he's committing an act of theft, And therefore, again, as we saw, theft is one of the shemesos b'nei Noach. Every one of the shemesos b'nei Noach, the infraction is punishable by death. Therefore, a ben Noach who learns Torah is punishable by death. So the Gemara says, "V'lachshevei gabi shemesos." So why don't you count this as one of the shemesos b'nei Noach, as one of the seven Noachide laws that a Gentile cannot learn Torah? So man damer mo rasha migzal kagazalei. So we'll say the one who dashes mo rasha to mean inheritance. So in Achinami, it is included. It's covered under theft. That if a Gentile goes in and learns Torah, it's as if he's stealing from a Jew. And therefore, again, he's put to death. Man do'amar ma'orasa, the one who says ultimately, again, that ma'orasa is like a play on words, ma'orasa. Torah tziva lanu Moshe ma'orasa. That Torah has like erusin, Torah has like a marriage to us. Then if a Gentile goes ahead and learns Torah, dino kinara ha'ma'orasa, then it has the same status as if he had relations with Nara ha'ma'orasa, betrothed maiden. Debiskila, that ultimately, again, he is killed with skila. So here, again, so the Gemara teaching us an incredible, Rabbi Yochanan teaching us an incredible, incredible yisod, that ultimately, again, a non-Jew is put to death for learning Torah. Some words may say, really, is this true? Hayyur Rabbi Meir Omer, minayin shapilu oved kochab ma'osik patara shuka koin gadol. So Rabbi Meir says, how do I know that even if a Gentile learns Torah, he's like a koin gadol, right? Meaning he's as great as the high priest. How do I know that? So the Gemara says, shenemar, asher yasa osa adam, the chai bohem. Chazabosai. The Torah says, Ushmartim eschukosai, ve'es mishpatai, you shall go ahead and you shall keep my chukim, my mishpatim, asher ya'asa osa ha'adam v'chai bohem. That a person will do them and live by them. Now, Bosai, you understand, Adam is the most generic term for human beings. So, Kohanim, Levim, v'Yisraelim lo ne'emar, it doesn't say, Asher ya'asa osam Kohanim, Levim, v'Yisraelim v'chai bohem. So the Pasuk is not unique, ultimately, again, to talk about Jews learning Torah, Ela ha'adam. But rather, again, it uses the Lashon of ha'adam, man. So the Gemara says, Halamarta, Shafilo oved kochav me va'osik batora, harehu kikoin gadol. What do you see from here? That if a person, that even an Oved Kochavim who learns Torah, it could be as great as a Kohen Gadol. So what's the idea over here that the Gemara is pointing out is that obviously the Ribbono Shel Olam purposely uses the Lashon of, or the word, Adam, man, which does not uniquely refer to Jew, which refers to all humankind, and speaking about this in the context of learning Torah. So Emir says it teaches you that even a Gentile, that even, not only is a Gentile permitted to learn Torah, but apparently again a Gentile is incredible, Zechuyos learning Torah, to which the Gemara says, Hasam b'sheva mitzos tidohu. When we speak about over here the ability or the license or even the encouragement of a Gentile to learn Torah, that means when it's used to further his understanding and appreciation of the seven Noahide laws. Look at Rashi. B'sheva mitzos tidohu. Oskin behilchos osan sheva mitzos lios b'kiyin bohen. So ultimately, again, if a Gentile is using the Torah to ultimately further his understanding and appreciation of the sheva mitzos, then not only is that permitted, but that ultimately, again, will be encouraged. Not only is it encouraged, but ultimately, again, he gets merit for that. He gets schar for that. But to go ahead and learn other parts of the Torah that are not related to a sheva mitzos b'nei Noach, ultimately, again, that's tantamount to an act of theft from Klal Yisrael, for which he is held liable. So also, you know, this is, you know, if Said was here, I'd tell him to write this down on our list. This happens to be a fascinating sugya in general about teaching Torah to non-Jews, which is a big sugya. So again, well, one of these days we'll Emir Tzashem get back to it. But just very often, the distinction that's made is between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. That for a Gentile to learn Torah Shebichsav, Chamisha Chumshei Torah, right, what we'll call like the Bible, the Torah, not a problem. Torah Shebal Peh is really the part that's much more uniquely the property, intellectual, spiritual property of Klal Yisrael. And for Noachai to go into that, that ultimately, again, seems to be what the Isra of the Gemara covers. Again, much more complicated sugya, but amazing to see. Also, just also incredible to see the unique relationship between Torah and Klal Yisrael. That literally, again, Torah is our morasha. Torah is our me'orasa. Also, it's also an incredibly important yisod in terms of teaching us how we are separate and distinct from the nations of the world. You know, sometimes, again, especially in Gullus, we have an incredible desire and want to kind of fit in and to be part of the fabric of humanity. But yet, again, we're unique, we're different, we're separate. And again, we see in a very stark way. Our Torahs are Morasha, our Torahs are Me'orasa, ours, and no one else's. The Gemara goes weiter. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, Af Adam min Achai. So we'll see, remember again, in previous discussions over here, so we had different opinions about the Shemus HaSnei Noach. So remember, we had opinions who said that in fact there are more than seven mitzvos. There are more than seven commandments for Noachites. So among Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel said that also Dam min Achai, blood that not only is Avram min Achai Aser, right, the limb from a living animal, but even blood from a living animal is also going to be Aser. Tan Rabbanon. So the Gemara Dashans, where do we get this from? Ach Basra ben Nafsho Damolo Sochelu. When the pasuk says "Ach basar b'nafsho damolo sochelu," right? Literally, again, when the flesh is when the nefesh, when the life is in the flesh, its blood shall not be consumed. So the Gemara Darshan Ze'ivam Menachai. This pasuk refers to the prohibition of consuming a limb from a living animal. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer Af Dam Menachai. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel says it also comes to include blood from a living animal. My time, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. Where does Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel get that this not only refers to Avram min Achai, but also refers to Dam min Achai, to which the Gemara says, Kari be basra b'nafsho lo sochelu. So the Gemara says the following, because Rabbi Chanina says, Kari be basra b'nafsho lo sochal, damo b'nafsho lo sochal. So what Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel does is he breaks up the pasuk into two phrases. The pasuk reads, Ach basar b'nafsho damo lo sochelu. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel understands that this is a contraction of two phrases. What are the two phrases? Phrase number one is basar b'nafsho lo sochal, which means ultimately again, don't eat Avram min Achai, don't eat a limb from a living animal, and damo b'nafsho lo sochal, don't eat the blood of the animal when the nefesh is still in the animal as well, which means don't eat blood from a living animal. V'rabbanan. The Rabbanan will say, no, that extra phrase in the Pasuk comes to teach you, Lemishri Shratzim. The Rabbanan will say, ultimately, again, Avram min Achai is only a din in animals, not in Shratzim. So, for example, if you have a Sheretz, now this obviously only really matters for Bnei Noach, because for Jews, Shratzim will be Asr anyway. But let's say, again, so a Ben Noach can't go ahead and take a leg off a cow, a living cow, and eat it. But if he wanted to go ahead and take a leg off an ant, right, or a leg off a bug or whatever it is, he could go ahead and do that. There's no Avram min Achai by Shratzim, only by living animals, only by animals. So the Gemara says, Ki yotzei b'davar at omer. Similarly, again, we see a similar machlokes. So the Gemara says, at Ki yotzei b'davar at omer, Rak chazak levelti achol adam, ki adam hu anefesh. So the pasuk tells us, Rak chazak, be strong, levelti achol adam, do not eat the blood, ki adam hu anefesh. So both say this pasuk is referring to us, the Klal Yisrael, ultimately telling us that we're not permitted to eat blood. So the Gemara darshins, Rak chazak levelti achol adam, ze Avram min Achai. So what's according to this drasha? Rak chazak levelti achol adam means don't eat Avram min Achai, a limb from a living animal. Ki adam hu anefesh, when the pasuk says because blood is life, zeu dam min Achai. So it's a little bit of a different like kunz on the pasuk. Ki adam hu anefesh means you cannot eat the blood of the animal when the nefesh is still in the animal. I.e., you can't not only cannot eat Avram min Achai, but you also can't eat dam min Achai. What's like? Now what the Gemara is coming to teach me is I might have thought that the prohibition of dam only applies when to a slaughtered animal. To a slaughtered animal. Right? Because again, I was saying, Bepashas, when you look at the context of a psukim, so the psukim is telling me I could eat meat, but I can't eat blood. So Bepashas, I would assume that prohibition means that when you slaughter the animal, you can eat its meat, but you can't eat its blood. Therefore, the Gemara is coming to tell me that yes, that is true, but in addition to that, not only can you not eat the blood of a slaughtered animal, but what? You also can't eat the blood of a living animal. Dam min Achai. The Rabbanon will say, Hahu ledam hakaza shanashama yotze bahudasa. The Rabbanon will say, no, that pasuk actually comes to teach me that blood ultimately, again, that comes out as a result of bloodletting of the animal, will also go ahead and be usher. So I says, Gemara, lamali lemichtav libnei noach, v'lamali lemishna besina. I suppose it's actually very interesting, Gemara. So I ask the Gemara the following. Why is it that we need to go ahead and write the Isser of Avram min Achai by Bnei Noach and repeat it again by Har Sinai? So the Isser of Avram min Achai is quoted twice. So one time it's quoted before Har Sinai, one time it's learned that from after Har Sinai. Why the need to repeat the same prohibition twice. So we'll say, listen to this. This is an incredible Gemara. We're going to read this, and at first glance, it's going to seem a bit illogical, but then we're going to work through it. Watch this. Tamar Rabbi Yosef Avichanina. Kol mitzvah she'ne'emra lebnei Noach, v'nishnas b'sinai. So I'll say, any time you have a mitzvah in the Torah that was given to Bnei Noach, so it was given to Bnei Noach, and then what? It was repeated by Sinai. Now, repeated by Sinai just means that what? The Torah states it again, lav dafka at Sinai, but when? But when? Sometime after Sinai. Same time you have a mitzvah that's recorded in the Torah prior to Har Sinai and repeated sometime again after Har Sinai, lezeh ulezeh nemra, teaches you that the mitzvah applies to Bnei Noach and to Jews and to Bnei Yisrael. Libnei Noach v'lo nishlas b'Sinai. But if you have a mitzvah that was stated to Bnei Noach, i.e. it's in the Torah prior to Matan Torah, v'lo nishlas b'Sinai, and it was not repeated again after Har Sinai, then Yisrael ne'emra below Libnei Noach. Then that mitzvah only applies to Jews and does not apply to Bnei Noach. The Ein Lanu Ella Git Hanosha Va'alibad Rabbi Yehuda. And it says the Gemara, if you look at Rashi, Va'anu Ein Lanu, it's in the wide lines, 2, 4, 5 lines. In Va'anu Ein Lanu, Azhara b'Bnei Noach. So if you want an example of a prohibition that was given to Bnei Noach and was not repeated again at Har Sinai or after Har Sinai, an example of that is Gid HaNosha. We will say, remember again, when is the prohibition of Gid HaNosha given? It's given again in Parshas Vayishlach, after Yaakov Avinu has the struggle with the Malach of Esav. That's when it's given, prior to Matan Torah, and that prohibition is never repeated. It's never repeated. So Rashi says, "V'alibud Rabbi Yehuda." Rashi says, "Damar parakit hanasha mebnei Yaakov nesar git hanasha shahayu bnei Noach kodem matan Torah v'rabana pligi v'amru b'sinai ne'emar v'lo lahem ela shenichtav b'mkoma v'achar matan Torah kasav kasu Moshe v'makom ha'maisa ala osid leizda me'izatam nesar lahem ol Rabbi Yehuda gufeli Yisrael ne'emar v'lo l'shar bnei Noach tab bnei Yisrael k'siv." So this is actually quite interesting. We're going to see there is a fundamental machlokes. There's a fundamental machlokes as to the nature of the prohibition of Gid HaNosha. So according to Rabbi Huda holds Gid HaNosha as an example of a mitzvah that was given, that is written prior to Matan Torah and not repeated. According to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, if you have a mitzvah that was written before Matan Torah and not repeated, a mitzvah that was written before Matan Torah and not repeated post Har Sinai, then what's the status of that mitzvah? It applies to Jews and not Bnei Noach, which means that the Isser of Gid HaNosha only applies to Klal Yisrael and does not apply ultimately again to Bnei Noach. Now we'll see, the Rabbanan disagree. The Rabbanan say, in fact, Gid HaNosha, that Isser, was given after Matan Torah. But the Torah Kedosha chooses to write it in the episode with which it is associated. So the prohibition was given actually after Matan Torah, but then when Moshe Rabbeinu records the Torah, Al Pi Hashem, they decide to put the prohibition in the story of Parshas Vayishlach. So Rashi goes on, he says, Rabbi Yehuda gufei li Yisrael ne'amar v'lo l'shar b'nei Noach, t'ab b'nei Yisrael k'siv, v'hadu kamar ha'achal d'osan ha'omdos b'yisrael l'bnei Noach li'olam, hotzrach l'shnosam b'sinai, lab mishum di'ajin, fine, so we have to do the rest of this. Good. So the Gemara will say, so if you want an example, so again, in Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina's construct, he has the following. Any mitzvah that was said before Matan Torah, and repeated after Matan Torah, applies to Bnei Noach and Bnei Yisrael. Any mitzvah that was said before Matan Torah, but ultimately again was not repeated after Matan Torah, only applies to Bnei Yisrael and does not apply to Bnei Noach. So we'll say now, let's analyze these concepts. Amar Mar, Kol mitzvah shenemra libnei Noach v'nishnas b'sinai lezeh lezeh nemra. So let's remember, according to Rabbi Yosef Chanina, any mitzvah that was said before Matan Torah and then repeated again after Matan Torah applies to both Bnei Yisrael and Bnei Noach. Adarabba, says Mar, which would be just the opposite. Midinishnas b'sinai liyisrael nemra v'lo libnei Noach. See, I would have said just the opposite. I would have said that any mitzvah that was said before Matan Torah and repeated again after Matan Torah, I would have said the fact that it was repeated again after Matan Torah tells you what? That is dafka for Klal Yisrael, not for Bnei Noach. There it says the Gemara, midi isni avodos kochavim b'sinai. So it says the Gemara, well, the fact that avodos kochavim, idolatry, is prohibited before Matan Torah, and repeated again at Matan Torah, and by the way, multiple times after Matan Torah as well. And we see that Ovdei Kochavim are held responsible, they are liable, meaning they're prohibited from engaging in idolatry as well. So essentially what the Gemara answers over here is that idolatry kind of serves as the model. The prohibition for idolatry was mentioned before Matan Torah. It was repeated again at Matan Torah as well, and yet we see that it is binding upon Jew and Ben Noach alike. Therefore, the Gemara says we use this as the model, that any mitzvah mentioned before Matan Torah, repeated again after Matan Torah, ultimately is binding upon Jew and Gentile alike. Libnei Noach v'lo nishnas b'sinai nem rabbalo libnei Noach. So remember, the second principle was, if something was said to Bnei Noach, i.e. before Matan Torah, and it was not repeated again at Sinai, that means for what? Li'so nem rabbalo libnei Noach. And that means it is binding for Jews, but not for Bnei Noach. Adrabba, I would say just the opposite. Midlo nishnis l'sinai b'sinai. If a mitzvah is not repeated after Matan Torah, libnei Noach nemra v'lo l'Yisrael. I would have said that it's dafka for Bnei Noach. I mean, the fact that it's not repeated would seem to indicate what? Logically, that tells me that it's dafka binding on Bnei Noach and not on Bnei Yisrael. To which the Gemara says, no, because Lekha Meidam, the Yisrael Shar Levi Kacham Aser. There's no such thing as something that is mutter for a Jew and Aser for an Akum, and Aser for a Ben Noach. Meaning, again, we're held to a higher standard, meaning we have greater strictures. So there's no such thing as something that would be prohibited for a Ben Noach that wouldn't be prohibited for a Jew. The Gemara says, is that true? Velo, that's not true. Velo, Vahari Yifas Toar. Let's say we, meaning the Jewish soldier, has a license of Yifas Toar, the war bride. That does not, we saw this, we'll say 3 days ago. This does not exist by Ben Noach. But Ben Noach goes out to war, and he conquers another army, and he takes a woman, a war bride. What's the halacha, we'll say? The halacha is, that's an act of gezel, which is punishable by death. So you see over here that there is something permitted to a Jew that is not permitted to a Ben Noach. To which the Gemara says, no. This is actually quite an amazing statement. Hasam mishum delav b'nei kibush ninhu. So we'll say there the difference is that it is only a Jew who is a ben kibush. Only Jews are conquerors, right? And apparently b'nei Noach are not conquerors. So what does that mean? Look at Rashi. It's 3 lines up from the bottom. Lav b'nei kibush ninhu lo nitna eretz lichbosh. This is amazing. That we'll say, you see, there's only one nation in this world that was actually given a land by the Ribono Shel Olam, and that's Klal Yisrael. We're the only nation who was given a land. We're the only nation who has a specific connection. The Maharal brings down that every nation has a connection to a particular land, but we are the only nation who was given a divine connection to a particular land. Therefore, says the Gemara, Lo nitna eres lichbosh kim liYisrael, shaf liYisrael luhutu yifas tor ela b'melchama ayedei kibush. So the Gemara says again, remember, even yifas tor is only permitted ultimately again in a war to conquer territory for Eretz Yisrael. So because it's only Klal Yisrael who have these type of territorial wars, we were given the license of Yifas Toar. Bnei Noach, which don't wage these same type of wars, therefore not given the license of Yifas Toar. Ay vahare pachos mishaveh pruta. But 1 second, what about theft less than a shaveh pruta? So you both say, for a Jew is not liable for theft of less than a shaveh pruta, but a Ben Noach will be chayiv for theft of less than a shaveh pruta. But there's an incredible yisod, to which the Gemara says, that's different. Hasam mishum delav b'nei mechila ninhu. It's different because b'nei Noach are not b'nei mechila. They're not capable of forgiveness. What does this mean? Look at Rashi, mishum delav b'nei mechila ninhu, sha'af yisom nitztavu ala gezel. Remember again, the laws of theft are the same for the Jew and non-Jew alike. Ela shapachos mishaveh pruta eino nechshav gezel b'eineihem, sha'ovrin al midasan shirachmanin heim, umochlin al davar kal, aval b'nei Noach achzorim heim. So Rashi says something amazing. The Jew has an incredible capacity for mechila, for forgiveness. That is a uniquely Jewish trait that is tied into our deep wellspring for rachmanus, for compassion. So therefore, unless it's on a shaveh pruta, ultimately, again, a Jew has the ability to be mochel. A Ben Noach does not, Bnei Noach have an achzorius, have a cruelty to them that simply does not exist within the Jewish soul. And as such, again, it's an incredible, incredible window into the power of the Jew. The Jew is just endowed with an ability, b'nei mechila ninu. We have the ability to forgive. We have the ability to forgive each other. We have the ability to forgive ourselves. We have the ability to forgive in a way that b'nei noach do not. So as such, again, it's not a kula that Klal Yisrael has over b'nei noach, but rather, again, it's just simply a difference in midos. An incredible, incredible gemara. Good, let's go weiter. So remember, again, the gemara says, Rabbi Yosef Chanina says, any mitzvah that was said to B'nai Noach and was repeated again at Har Sinai is binding upon Jew and Ben Noach alike. Vahari Milah, what about Bris Milah? Shenemra L'Bnei Noach. It was given over to B'nai Noach. So most remember the Chesiv. V'ata as Brisi Tishma. So remember again, Avram Avinu was a Ben Noach. Right? So Avram Avinu is given this of Mila, and what? Vinishnas B'sinai, B'yamashmin Yimol, right? So ultimately again, so we know that Bris Mila is said twice. Bris Mila is said by Avraham Avinu, and it's also said in Parshas Tazria. B'yamashmin Yimol B'sar Loso. So both sides, Kender B'yosef Rabbi Chanina, any mitzvah that was said before Matan Torah, and said again after Matan Torah, is binding upon who? Jew and Ben Noach alike. If such, again, Ben Noach should be chayv in Bris Mila. So the Gemara says, let yet li Yisrael Nemra v'lo l'bnei Noach. Yet we know that Mila is only binding on Jews, not upon Gentiles. Hahu l'mishrei Shabbos hu da'asa. Bayom v'afilu b'Shabbos. To which the Gemara says, you're right. That second mentioning of Bris Mila, Rabosei, in Parshas Tazria, u'bayom ha'shmini imol b'sar arlo. So is there to teach us a different lesson. What is that there to teach us? Bayom ha'shmini, on the eighth day. And the Gemara darshins, bayom ha'shmini, afilu b'Shabbos. Teaches us that Mila Bismana, Mila in its right time, is permitted even on Shabbos. So therefore, again, because the extra pasuk is coming to teach us something, it doesn't fit into the construct of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. I have Harper Verivya. What about procreation? So on one hand, again, the pasuk says, Peru Ravu, which was said to Adam Arishon, said again to Noach. So therefore, you see, it was said to B'nai Noach, and yet again, it's mentioned again by Har Sinai, V'nishnas B'Sinai, Leich Emor Lahem, Shuva Lahem, Lo'ohaleichem. So let's say it's actually interesting. After the Shekhinah departs from Har Sinai, so the Ribbono Shel Olam tells Moshe, Leich Emor Lahem, tell the people, Shuvu Lahem, Lo'ohaleichem, go back to your tents. So the Gemara understands that go back to your tents is a euphemism for go back to your homes and continue a normal intimate life for procreation purposes. So you see again that the mitzvah peer of a review is given twice. Yet, the Yisrael Namra v'lo libnei noach, yet we know that the halacha peer of a review is dafka adin said to, is a mitzvah upon Jews, but not a mitzvah upon Gentiles. I'm also saying, now, without getting into the technicalities here, I'll get into the technicalities in just a moment, there are two different mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah peri of Rivia, and there's a mitzvah of Shabbos. Mitzvah peri of Rivia is a specific halachic mitzvah. Machlokes is Be'Shan and Be'Silo. Is it two boys? Is it a boy and a girl? There's a specific mitzvah, we'll pass like Be'Silo, to have a boy and a girl. Right? Or at least to keep trying to have a boy and a girl. The mitzvah, after you fulfill the mitzvah peri of Rivia, there's a general mitzvah of Shabbos. The mitzvah of Shabbos is procreation. There's a general mitzvah upon all of humanity of procreation, because if there's not a mitzvah of procreation, then ultimately, again, the world will not endure. So the Gemara is saying over here, the mitzvah peri of Rivia was said twice. Using the Ma'ar Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina, any mitzvah that's said twice is what? Is binding upon Jew and non-Jew. Yet we know, again, that the mitzvah peri of Rivia is only a din in Jews and not a din in B'nai Noach. To which the Gemara says, "Hahu l'chol davar sheva minyan tzarach minyan achar la'atira hu da'asa." To which the Gemara answers, "No, that shuvu lachem la'ohalechem rabosai teaches us an important halachic concept, which is any matter of halacha that is established by a basin of a certain number requires a basin of an equal number to repeal that concept. In other words, it was the Ribbono Shel Olam who commanded us to abstain from intimacy when preparing ultimately for Sinaitic revelation. So too, again, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the right to tell us to resume normal intimate marital life. So we learned from here a halachic concept that anytime a basin legislates something, it would require a basin of equal or greater size or number and wisdom to be able to repeal that previous enactment. So the point Rabbi said the Gemara is making over here is that halacha lemaisa, these second statement of these mitzvos are not just second statements. They're actually there to teach us something, and therefore, again, they do not apply to the construct of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. If that's the case, kol chada v'chada nami neim shum milsa isni. So why don't you say that about any time that the Torah goes ahead and repeats a mitzvah? Why don't you always say the Torah is not just I'm repeating it, but rather the Torah is repeating it in order to teach me something new? To which the Gemara Sachi Gamar, as hara mihadar umisna balamali. If the Torah was just teaching me something, there is a way to teach me the new concept. Why the need to go ahead and repeat the prohibition? The fact that the Torah repeats the prohibition indicates to me that the Torah is coming to teach me, and we're repeating it again to make it binding upon Bnei Noach and Jews alike. And the truth is, the only example we have of this, of Rav Osei, of a mitzvah that ultimately again was stated before Matan Torah, but not stated again after Matan Torah, and therefore again binding upon Jews, but not binding upon Gentiles, ultimately again would be the mitzvah of Gid Hanashen, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to which the Gemara says, Hani Nami Lo Isni, but 1 second, Mila, Piria, Barivia, were also not repeated at Sinai, to which the Gemara says, Hani Isni L'Shum Mil Saba Alma. Remember again, these were repeated ultimately again to teach us other lessons. I says the Gemara, Ha lo isni klal. Git Hanosha was not repeated at all. See, Rabbi Osei, there is no mention of Git Hanosha again after Parshas Vayishlach. Ibai Seima, Mila may karli Avram hu dekam Yisraeli Rachmana. So we'll say, man. So the Gemara suggests the following. Mila, in the beginning, was only commanded to Avram Avinu. So the Gemara says, what is the Pasuk? So what's the first wide line? Pasuk says, and you shall keep my covenant. You and your descendants after you for all future generations. So we'll say, by Mila already we understand, Mila was, the Gemara suggesting, Mila was dafka given to Avram and his descendants. So Avram, Mila is yours and your descendants, but not to anyone else. If that's the case, that's given to Avram Avinu's descendants, Elam Mi'ata B'nei Yishma L'chaiva. So I'll say, if that's the case, that Mila is an obligation given to Avram Avinu and his descendants, then B'nei Yishma, who are the descendants of Avram, should also be chayv in Mila. So the Pasuk says, Ki B'yitzcha Ki Kari L'chazara. No, the Pasuk says that God tells Avraham Avinu that your offspring will be through Yitzchak. So you see that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Avraham Avinu about a mitzvah for him and for future generations refers to who? To the offspring of Yitzchak, not Yishma. If that's the case, that it applies to the offspring of Yitzchak, B'nei Esav L'chaibo. So remember again, so then the sons of Esav and his descendants should be chayv in Bris Milah, because they are the descendants of Yitzchak Avinu as well, to which the Gemara says, Bi Yitzchak v'lo kol Yitzchak. The Pasuk says, Ki bi Yitzchak yikari l'chazara. Within Yitzchak, you will have offspring. Within Yitzchak means some of Yitzchak's progeny will be your spiritual extension, but not all of his progeny will be your extension. Therefore, again, we see in the Pasuk that Cheshbarach is alluding to the fact that the Yitzchak, the line of Yaakov that ultimately will carry on Abrahamic traditions, but not through Esav. So the Gemara said the following, Maskif lo Rav Oshia, Ela me'ata b'nei Keturah lo l'chaivo. But what about the children that Avraham Avinu has through Keturah? Also remember again, at the end of Parshas Chayisara, so after Avraham Avinu marries off Yitzchak, so the Torah says, Vayosef, that Avraham Avinu married another woman by the name of Keturah, and he had a number of sons with her. So actually this Keturah was Hagar, but the Mefarshim disagree with it. In any event, Avraham Avinu has other children. So you're telling me then that those children did not have a mitzvah of Mila? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef bar Abba, Mikdem Rabbi Yosef bar Chanina, as Bisi Hefer, L'Rabos B'nei Keturah. So in Achanan, I will say that, again, what it's saying over here is, for Avraham Avinu's direct family, everyone had an obligation of Mila. So Avraham and his children all had Mila. It refers to Yitzchak, Yishmael, ultimately, again, B'nei Keturah. But in terms of the mitzvah for future generations, that mitzvah only became binding on a piece or on a division of the tree from Yitzchak. Specifically, again, to Yaakov Avinu and his offspring. So the Gemara goes, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, Adam HaRishon, Lo Hutra Lo Basar L'Achida. What's the amazing Gemara? Adam HaRishon did not have the license to eat meat. Didn't have license to eat meat. Dichsev, Lachem Yela Achla, Ulechol Chaya Saaretz. So the Pasuk says that God speaks to Adam HaRishon. He says, you could have all the vegetation, the fruits of the trees, for you will be to eat, and to all the animals of the land. So, below, chayas sa'aretz lachem. but the animals of the earth do not belong to you. So Adam HaRishon did not have a license to eat meat. When Bnei Noach came on the scene, right after the Mabul, man is given the license to eat meat. So God says to Noach, just like I've given you the vegetation of the earth, so too again, the animals are yours for consumption. So I might have thought that once Noach was given the right to eat animals, perhaps again the prohibition of Eiver Min Achai is also lifted. Therefore, Talmud Lomar, Ach Basar B'Nafsho Damo Lo Socheilu. Therefore, the pasuk says, no, when the nefesh, when life is in the animal, you may not eat the limbs of the animal. Yochel af l'shrotzim. I might have thought that the prohibition of Eiver Min Achai applies to creepy, crawly things as well. Talmud Lomar, Ach. Therefore, we'll say Ach is an exclusionary phrase to teach you that Eiver Min Achai applies to the animals, but does not apply to shrotzim. Umay Talmuda, Amrafuna Domo. How do we learn this? Because the pasuk says Domo, it's blood. Misha Domo Chalok Mi Bisaro. Eiver Min Achai only applies to something where the blood is separate from the flesh. This comes to exclude shratzim, where the blood and flesh are intertwined. What does this mean? So what it's saying over here is that Eiver Min Achai is dafka a din. It's something that has flesh. Shratzim generally don't have flesh, meaning the blood and the flesh are one, as opposed to animals where there's flesh and there's blood. Meisvei or dubid gazan. So remember now, what the Gemara is saying over here is that Adam HaRishon did not have a license to eat animals. Eat animals. Now, Pashas, that means the Limerish did not have a license to eat any living things. Shabbosi, you know, by the way, is an interesting discussion in terms of what a utopian society looks like. So many, Rav Kook speaks about this, many have this concept that utopian society is a vegetarian society. And many have the positive, when Mashiach comes, that ultimately, again, we return to that level of vegetarianism as well. Makes it harder to dive into Mashiach when you hear about things like this. But that's holding in Karbanos also. But I will say it's interesting, meaning it is fascinating to see that in the Adam HaRishon pre-chet world, Adam didn't take life. He didn't take life for anything. He didn't take life for his clothing. He didn't take life for his consumption. So ultimately, again, he is a vegetarian. So the Gemara says, Meisvei, Urduba de Gassam, yet the Pasuk says that man will have dominion over the fish of the sea. My love, Lachilo. What does it mean to have dominion? Does that not mean the Adam HaRishon has the right to eat the fish? Right? That's what dominion means. He has the right to eat the fish. Lo l'malacha. No, what it means is he can use the fish of the sea for working purposes. The donkey b'nei malacha ninu. Can you use fish for work? So the Gemara says, in kid rachba, the boy rachba. Yes, you can, because rachba is the following kasha. Himig b'idah v'shibuta mai. So mostly there's a halacha that says that you can't go ahead and plow your field, right? You can't go ahead and plow your field ultimately, again, because of with kilayim. You can't plow with two different animals because of forbidden mixtures. So Rachba asked the following question. If you harness up to your plow a shibuta, which is a large fish, and a goat. So essentially what you're doing is you're plowing right by the riverbank. So you have the fish pulling the plow, you have the goat pulling the plow. Is that a din in kilayim, in forbidden mixture? So you see from here that certain fish can be used for work as well. So the Gemara says, Tashma, uba'ofa shamayim. So the pasuk says, Adam will have dominion over the birds of the sky. My love la'achila. Does that not mean that what? That Adam Rishon has the right to eat the birds? Lo l'malacha. No, rather it means that he could use the birds for work. Va'ofos b'nei malacha ninu. Could birds do work in? Kedibai rabba barafuna dosh ba'avzin v'tarnagolin. So we're not going to get into the shiloh here, but the point is that you could use geese or you could use chickens for threshing. So you see over here, which are, they're fowl, yet you can use it for threshing. So the Gemara goes right to the Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Mai, Tashma. I'm sorry, Ba'avzim v'tarnagolin Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Mai, Tashma. So let's listen to this. The pasuk says that Adam will have dominion over all of the animals that creep upon the earth. That comes to include that before the chait of Adam HaRishon, man had dominion over the snakes. So the Gemara says, this Omer, Chaval al shamash gadol sha'avad mina olam. Woe to man that he lost a great attendant. Right? He lost the great shamash. He lost the great servant. Shil malei noris kalal nachash. Had the nachash not been cursed, kol achad ve'achad miyisra hayum izdamnin lo shnei nachashim. Every person would have two snakes as his servants. So we'll say, what the Gemara is describing over here is that the snake was a highly evolved being. We know, again, the fact that the snake was cursed by slithering on his belly indicates to us that the snake stood, and the snake obviously, again, was a being of great intellect. were it not for the sin of the Nachash, of the sin of Adam HaRishon, every person would have been given two Nachashim Tovim. Echa Meshagro L'Tzafon, Ve'echa Meshagro L'Dorom. One snake he would have sent to the north, one snake he would have sent to the south. La'havi lo Sandalavonim Tovim, Ve'avanim Tovos, Umargolios. And the snake would have brought him all kinds of precious jewels. So we'll say the idea over here is that every person would have been given these two servants, and these servants, these snake servants, would have been able to do incredible work for the individual. You'll be able to send them to the north and the south represent extreme, extreme temperatures. So the idea would have been that I would have had two shamashim, I would have two servants who would have just helped me out in this world. The og ela shamashpilin ritzua tachas nabo umotzi ba'afar leginasa ulucharvasa. Not only that, but the snake also could have helped with work in the field. Literally, a pouch could have been strapped on beneath its tail. The idea is that the snake could have been able to help out with household chores as well. That had the Aveira not happened, that again, I will say, what this is a metaphor, that there would have been a much greater synergistic partnership between the animal kingdom and man had there not been the chait of Adam HaRishon. But now that the chait of Adam HaRishon occurred, kind of the animal kingdom does its thing, mankind does its thing, and ultimately, again, that synergistic partnership is lost. So we'll have to stop over here for today. Again, we're going to continue with this incredible Gan Eden Gemara tomorrow. So you want to be here on time in Eretz Hashem. We'll start with this tomorrow. The Gan Eden. That's right.